are still talking about, come on, hope. Hope, everybody, anyone remember what hope stands for? Now, before you say, I forgot, Pastor Charlie, I was in a counseling appointment this week. I was talking to the individual about hope, and I said, well, you know what hope is, right? And they're like, yeah, you said it Sunday. And I'm like, yeah, I had to go to the office to get my notes, go back into the room to remember what I preached. So I thought, my word, how many of you guys know what hope is, though? I gave you, remember, the Charlie Riley amplified version of it. What is it? Anybody remember? Huh? Certain, strong, confident expectation of good. Have you ever researched hope? Have you ever looked it up on the web? I think I may have mentioned it last week, but I did a research on hope. I did some research on hope. Now get this. Before I research hope, have you ever done a search on the web? Are you amazed at what drops down in your Dropbox whenever you type in something? I'll give you some examples of Google searches that are hilarious. What do I do if I think I have swine flu? Who looks that? Look, 19 million people looked that up. Is that scary? How about this one? What do I do if my iPad freezes? How about this? What do I do if I'm pregnant? I get that one. How about this one? This one cracks me up. What do I do if a ginger kid bites me? According to that, 212,000 people looked that up. All I got to say is my secretary's redhead and ginger people must bite people. Am I picking up what I'm putting down? Now, if you're sitting by redhead, don't shake your head. You might get bit this morning. How about this one? How about this one? How to raise your credit score? How about this? Who puts this in? How to raise your IQ by eating gifted children? Is that I mean, you know, when I was thinking about getting smart, that was the first thing that came to my mind. How to eat somebody, you know? All right. How about this one? Dinosaurs, we, you know, websites for kids, we're back, webcomic, webquest. How about this? Dinosaurs were made by the CIA to discourage time travel. Is that not the craziest stuff? I don't know about you, but those things crack me up. Just absolutely crack me up. Now, get this. Get this. If you will take and type in the word hope, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that hope comes up 1,790,000,000 results. Now, the sad part of that result is this. Do you know on the first several pages, there's nothing about God, Christianity, Jesus, nothing. All those are ways to find hope. And it's amazing to me that the gospel has nothing in that. Nothing in that. When you search it, seriously, search it out sometime, not now. When you get home, you'll be amazed that the first several pages, there's nothing about Jesus, nothing about true hope. Because the true hope that we have in God is found in Christ and Him alone. Amen? Amen. It's only in Him. Now, here's the deal. We talked about it last week, and I'm going to pick up where I left off, but I got to make sure everybody's on the same page. We talked about how critical hope is to your spiritual walk. How hope is really the foundation of faith. Look at it this way. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. If the enemy can steal your hope, he don't have to worry about your faith, right? Remember last week I said you can't have deer jerky till you have a deer. All right, maybe y'all can't get with that. You can't have gumbo till you have roux. Y'all can't get any of that either. I mean, come on. You can't have crawfish till you have crawfish. Okay, maybe that one doesn't work as well. But you get what I'm saying. You got to start with something before you get there. And listen, when it comes to your faith, the bedrock of your faith is hope. Hope. If the enemy can steal your hope, he doesn't have to worry about your faith. So it is my opinion that the devil oftentimes robs us or sucks hope out of us. And last week I gave you some of the enemies of hope. This week I want to talk to you about living or walking in a living hope. That we should always, consistently and constantly live and walk in a hope in the God that we serve. How many of y'all believe that this morning? I believe it with all my heart. And remember, we talked about hope. The Living Bible says, what is faith? Faith is a confident assurance of what we want is going to happen. Or the Crab Bible, Charlie Riley Amplified Bible, hope is a certain, come on, help me out, certain, strong, confident expectation of what? Of good. And I just want to assure you this morning that true hope, the hope that we're talking about, is only found in God. You will never find hope in anything else like you will in God. You may hope in your car and your car will break down. You may hope in your money, but your money will run out. You may hope in other people, but other people will fail you. But when you hope in God, the Bible says He'll never disappoint you. He will always show up. You say, no, He hadn't for me. No, it's because your hope and your faith wasn't moving in the right direction. I'll show you that here in just a second. Look at it this way. Romans 15, 13 says this. May the God of, come on, say it. May the God of hope. You know, God doesn't look around and go, wow, this place sucks. Oh, that's too blunt for you? You talk like that. Am I right? Oh, we're spiritual. It's Sunday. We're holy. Come on, for real. God doesn't look around and go, well, you know, I guess it is what it is. God doesn't do that. Look, may the God of hope, watch this, fill you with all joy and peace. Now, I got to tell you this. This week, as I was studying out where I was going this week, this verse really came alive in me in a way that it never had before. And I'll show you exactly what I mean. Look at the next two words. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. How many of you know the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength? How many of you know if you're going to be strong, you're going to need the joy of the Lord in your heart? Amen? That's what the Bible teaches, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you want to be spiritually strong, you must have the joy of the Lord. Let's go a little further. And it also says this, and peace. How many of you know the Bible says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus? In other words, let me translate it this way. I think, according to this verse, we can make the case that if you're going to have biblical hope is a certain, strong, confident expectation of good. If you're going to have that in your life, then you have to understand what brings that up into your heart is joy and peace. Joy and peace. You've got to understand that if you're going to have hope, joy and peace are the bedrocks of that thing. And if there's people that steal your joy, or there's circumstances that steal your joy, it will ultimately rob you of hope and rob you of faith. If there's something that steals your peace, it will rob you of hope and rob you of faith and rob you of seeing God do big things in your life. So here's the deal. As a believer, we should do everything within our ability to guard our joy and our peace. Because when we have joy and peace, it births hope in your heart. I was thinking about it. Think about your life. Think about when you've had hope. When you've had hope. Every time I looking back on my life, every time I've had hope, it was always connected to joy or peace in some way, shape, or form. Would y'all agree with that? Every time. Every time I've experienced hope, it's always connected to joy and peace. Either, you know, I may be worrying about something, and all of a sudden I just get a peace. And when I have peace, I have hope. I'm like, God's doing it. God's doing something bigger than I know. I just have peace about it, and God's doing something big. And because God's doing something big, I got hope. And because I have hope, my faith is moving in with it, staying in line. Or maybe it's something that I experienced the joy of the Lord. God just moves and we see a breakthrough in our lives. And it's like, wow, that's awesome. God's awesome. God does big things. And because of that, I see God, that joy comes up on the inside of me. All of a sudden, I got hope. Man, if God can do a big thing there, God can do a big thing over there. God can do something big over there. God can do something big over there. Matter of fact, God can do something big everywhere in my life. The joy, just feel, it fuels that thing. So I'm here to tell you, man, if you're going to walk in hope, you need to guard your joy and your peace. If there's something attacking your joy and your peace, back away from it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You have to be able to walk in joy and in peace because it's the bedrock of your hope. Look at it. It says, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Isn't that awesome? Check this out. I want to show you this next verse. Look at this, Romans chapter 5. And there's a lot that I could say about this verse, but I want to pull you down to verse 5. Verse 5. It says this, now hope does not disappoint. Now remember, what is hope? Hope is a certain, yeah, strong, come on, confident expectation of good. That does not disappoint. That. And I know what you're thinking. Well, Pastor Charlie, my grandma always said, you should never get your hopes up. Well, your grandma probably wasn't talking about biblical hope. Because here's what the Word of God says. Without hope, you have no faith. My opinion is, get your hopes up in God. Get your hopes fired up in God. Get so fired up, you sing about it. I was singing, you know the song I've been singing all week? That's scary, but here it comes. My hope is built on, I'm going to sing it my way. Y'all leave me alone, all right? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust sweetest vein, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Do you believe that? Absolutely awesome. My hope is built on nothing less. Should you get your hopes up in God? Oh my goodness, yeah. What's the alternative? Well, hopelessness. You should get your hopes up in God. You should get your hopes up every day. Every day you should wake up going, man, I'm full of hope. People say, well, I don't think so. You say, you be a nope if you want to. I'm going to be a hope today, praise God. My God is big. He does big things. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Listen to this. Now, hope does not disappoint. Biblical hope doesn't disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Isn't that powerful? The Holy Spirit has been, I was thinking about it this way. A lot of times we talk about why has the Holy Spirit been given to us? You know, we know that He empowers us to live. We know that He allows us to conquer sin. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Y'all believe that still, right? All right, we believe that you know, He gives us gifts, tongues, prophecy, interpretation. How many of y'all believe that? All right, we believe that He fills us with the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, right? Galatians 5:22. But listen to this. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, He'd be our comforter. He'd be our teacher. There's so many things that the Holy Spirit does. But I love this verse because it says this. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. By who? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in your body. And when He gets there, He opens up a can. Not that one. Not that one. He opens up a can, all right? And He just pours the love of God into your heart. And He fills you up completely. Why? He don't want you to think for one day moving forward in your life that God does not love you and is absolutely in love with you in every way, shape, and form. Come on, amen? He pours it out. He wants you to know He loves you. He loves you. So every day when you wake up, before you experience hope, you've got to ground yourself in the idea that, man, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. God wants the best for me. He's watching over me. He's working in me. He's moving in my life. God loves me. He absolutely loves me. Now, check this out. The Bible does not say that the Holy Spirit pours His love out, shows the love of God to the world. It's not what it says. So don't be surprised if you got some lost friends, people that don't love God, don't go to church, don't serve Jesus, not born again, if they look at you and go, oh, you're weird. How can you say God just loves you? How can you say that? You're walking around work all the time talking about God loves you. I just don't believe it. Well, I know you ain't saved. The only way you can know God really loves you is if you're born again. Seriously, as an unsaved person, the only thing you hear is, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Because it isn't until you recognize, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, that you can invite Jesus to fix your sin problem so that then He can open up a can and fill you full of love, praise God. Because God wants you to know He loves you. He loves you. It is undeniable. He loves you with everything He has. The Bible tells us, come on, you know what the Bible says, that God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son just for you. If you were the only person on the planet, He would die for you. He would die for you, praise God. Look at this. Hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. I know sometimes I'll watch TV, just like you. I'll watch TV, hear something happening to somebody's kid, you know? Somebody's kid got hurt. And immediately that'll try and attach itself to your heart. Come on, everybody been there? Yeah? Maybe you don't have kids. Maybe you got dogs. Something tragic happened to somebody's dog. I don't know. I'm just saying. All right? Here's the deal. You ready? And immediately that'll attach itself to your heart. And you're like, oh, that could happen to me. Listen, you want to know the greatest defense to that is? Man, God loves me. God's watching over me. Say, well, Pastor Charlie, God loves them too. Yeah, God does love them. But it doesn't mean that God's been poured out in their hearts and showing them that. I know what we think. We think, well, God's showing everybody He loves them. Yeah, through the cross. Listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying really is deep. He showed everyone on the planet how much He loved them by the work on the cross. Okay? But not everyone has a revelation or understanding of that. It's not till the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you that you recognize how much God really, 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 really loves you. Amen? It's only then. It's only then. It's only then. Pretty amazing. As a staff, I talk to sometimes our staff, and we'll see people come to church, and they'll start coming to church, and they'll come into the church, and their life is a wreck. They don't think God loves them. They're depressed. They're worried, fear-bound, all these things, and they're just a total wreck in their world. And they come in, and we start getting them filled up with the Word of God, get them into a class, get them learning the Word, get them searching out the Bible, get them feeding themselves spiritually, getting them growing in their faith. They're moving. All of a sudden, 6 months to a year later, they're like, well, we're all right. We don't need church as often anymore. You know, we're good. We got it all figured out now. Life's good. And that'll get you by for a while. That'll get you by for a while. And again, I'm not trying to get people here more often. That's not my point. My point is this, that we need hope and the love of God being shed abroad in us continually to keep us continually growing in Him so that we continually never lose our hope, praise God. Because we live in a culture and in a society that will absolutely suck the faith and the love and the hope of God out of us like nothing else. It's like a straw. When you walk out of here, sucking it out of you. You need it every week, praise God. Amen? You do. Man, you need it. You need it. I used to say it this way, and I'll give you a little bit of Bible here on this. Under the old covenant, demonic activity was oftentimes connected to flies. Believe it or not. Why? Because how many of y'all know flies are annoying? All right? I don't know why they got on the ark. I don't even know. Mosquitoes, well, I know why. That's a Louisiana state bird. But anyway, that's another deal. they fillet them down there. On a serious note, when it came to flies, are oftentimes in the Old Testament referred to and connected to demonic activity. One of the things that the old shepherds in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, one of the things they would do is they would rub oil all over the sheep. And they would do this daily. And they would, by rubbing oil all over the sheep, fresh oil, what would happen is it would keep the flies away. There's something there. See, as a shepherd, it's my job to smear you down with oil weekly, so that the flies, the devil and his power stays. It's for real. There's something about sitting under the anointing and allowing the Holy Spirit and the oil to run over you that will absolutely free you from the power of the enemy and keep you going in the right direction. Come on, amen? That's good stuff. It's good stuff. Our hope that we have in God, certain, strong, confident expectation of good, does not disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. Anytime you feel like the enemy is attacking you, one of the first things you can do is just say out loud. Did I say it out loud? Did I say it out loud? I thought I said it out loud, but I just wanted to make sure you heard me say it out loud, because saying it out loud has everything to do with how you say it out loud. All right? You got to say it out loud. Man, I thank you, Lord, that you love me and you're watching over me and you're caring for me. You have a dream. You have a nightmare. One night you're laying down in bed and you wake up in the middle of the night and something happened to your kid in the dream. One of the greatest things you could do, number one, is rebuke the devil. But number two is say, I thank you, Lord, that you love my kids. You're watching over my kids. You're protecting my kids. You're growing my kids. They're women of faith and men of faith and you are protecting them. I thank you for it, Lord. Why? Because you love them. Come on, amen? That's how you keep hope moving on the inside of you, all right? Look at this, Psalms 147:11. For the Lord delights in those who what? Fear him, who put their hope in what? I think that verse says unfailing. It doesn't say his failing love. Well, we hoped in God and they all died. No, it's an unfailing love. His love for us is absolutely unfailing. Connected to the idea that, how many of you know, God cannot fail? He cannot fail, and he won't fail you either. He won't fail you, all right? So understand, this living hope that lives on the inside of us, that's how we keep it moving forward. We keep it moving forward that way, knowing it's a living hope. We keep feeding it. We keep moving in it, all right? How do we keep it moving forward? How do we keep it growing? Here it is. You ready? We anchor it or tie it to the promises of God, all right? So you can write that down if you're taking notes. It's built on the promises of God. Romans 15:4 says this, and for whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of what? Scriptures might have hope. Might have hope. Listen to this. If you never pick up the book that has the greatest hope in it, you won't have hope. That's right. But Pastor Charlie, I come to church. I love the music. You know why you love the music? You're confessing hope over your life. I love hearing you preach. You know why? Because there's hope always connected to it. You never have to worry about me preaching hopelessness. Never. Why? Because I don't believe we serve a God that's hopeless. Right? Right? How many of you know we serve a God that's more than enough? That he's strong enough. He's all powerful, almighty. Amen? There's no limit to his power. The only limit to his power is the limitations we put on him, praise God. Right? Ephesians 3:19 is true. What? That he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything we think, do, ask, or imagine, according to the power that works in us. Absolutely. It's the promises of God that birth hope in us. And actually, can I give you a little bit deeper understanding of this? You ready? It really is based upon using your imagination to do it. How many of you know God made you with an imagination? God uses your imagination to show you His plans for you. Say, how is that? Think about it. If you're depressed and you read the Bible that says, the joy of the Lord is your strength, that word is meant to paint an image inside of your heart of the way God wants you to see yourself. So instead of you buying into the mental idea of I'm depressed, you will buy into the idea or the word picture that God puts in your heart through the word of God that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Immediately when you think the joy of the Lord is your strength, you see you sitting on a bass boat in April, fishing, hooking a big one. You see joy and strength on the inside of you. Come on, am I ready? Y'all get that? Say, well, Pastor Charlie, I don't know if it works that way. Really? Think about it this way. By His stripes you were healed. Now, if you're sick with something, and you're sitting at home, and you hear that, that paints a picture of you on the inside of your heart of being healed. So how should you see yourself? Healed. The purpose of the promise is to paint a picture on the inside of you so it bursts hope on the inside of you that your better days are yet ahead of you and you don't have to die. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? You've got to have the promise to birth the hope. And it's birthed through word pictures. It really is. Look at Hebrews 10:23. It says this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. And I used that last week, and I just want to reiterate. It's the confession of our hope. That when we speak words of hope. Check this out. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a, come on, everybody say living. Living. And next word is hope. What is hope? Come on. Certain, strong, confident, expectation of good. That's what it is. How do we know we have this hope? How do we have this living hope? Check it out. Blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living, confident, certain, I jacked that up real good, didn't I? Certain, strong, confident expectation of good. That's what He's begotten. Watch this. Begotten us again to a living, certain, strong, confident expectation of good through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So here's the deal. When you start thinking of hope, well, I don't know what to anchor my hope to. Here's what you anchor it to. The God that I serve came to the earth, died on a cross. They whipped Him, beat Him, did all they could to kill Him. They didn't kill Him. He laid His life down, the Bible tells us. Yes. Yeah. He took all that and He still didn't die. They put Him on a cross. After 3 days and three nights of being dead, went to hell, defeated death, hell, and the grave, rose up victorious on Sunday, Easter, rose up, said, hello, to everybody, walked around, did miracles after that. And you want to ask me why I have hope? Because that's my God. That's the God that I serve. The God I serve did that stuff. Praise God. Amen? That's the God we serve. Our foundation of hope is based on what He did. It's not based on some whim. It's not like, you know, this ain't Bob Gregory AccuWeather forecast, so, you know, I hope it don't rain. Dual Doppler. No, none of that has nothing to do with it. My faith and my hope is built on the idea that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. And bless God, if He can do that, then He can do anything in my life, praise God. There is nothing that He can't do. I'm going to invite Him in with hope, believing He can do big things in my life, praise God. He can heal my body. He can heal my mind. He can heal my kids. He can heal my family. He can do anything. That's the God we serve. And that's the hope that we have on the inside of us. Not a dead hope. It's a living hope, praise God. Come on, amen? We should live with that every day. We should live with a hope like that. Somebody walks up to you, says, man, I just don't know what we're going to do. Watch, somebody, it's going to happen to somebody this week. Somebody's going to walk up to you and say, man, I just don't know. I just don't know. They may even say, you know what? Sometimes I just wish I could check out. You need to look them right in the eye and say, let me tell you something. Never a day you should think that. There's a hope that you can have that's far beyond anything you've ever had in your life. And it's in Jesus and Him alone, praise God. Come on, amen. I believe that with all my heart. Let me tell you, hope does some things in our lives. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. It brings protection over you. It really does. I know you may not think it, but you driving your car in hope protects you. It does. Look at this. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him and on those who hope in His mercy. Let me give it to you in the Living Bible. It says this, but the eyes of the Lord are watching over those who fear Him, who rely upon His steady love. He will keep them from death even in times of famine. Come on, y'all get that? Those who hope in Him, He will keep them from death even in times of famine. I know we don't talk like this, the eyes of the Lord. Anytime you see that in Scripture, it always deals with protection. We don't talk about that. We don't talk like that, like in our house. I don't tell the kids, hey, listen, the eyes of your dad. Well, I kind of do, but anyway, it's different. You know what I mean? The eyes of dad are on you. No, no, here's what I would say. Here's the way the Charlie Riley Amplified Version would say it. You ready? I got your back. I got your back. Whitney, I got your back. Michael, I got your back. Your daddy's got you. Something messes with you, something jacks with you, hey, blessed are the peacemakers. Some of y'all translate that Bible verse way wrong. Well, blessed are the peacekeepers. No, the Bible doesn't say peacekeeper. Peacemaker. Making peace, praise God. It's called peace through strength. Yeah, I like that a lot. Maybe a little too much. Anyway, I got to preach on. But here's the truth. The truth is, here's the truth. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. That by hoping in the Lord every day that you're walking and you're walking out your life, you're actually putting yourself under His hedge of protection and you don't even know it. But you really are. You're protecting yourself by walking in hope. Say, Pastor Charlie, does that even include my health? Oh, yeah. If you walk in doubt and defeat, well, I guess I'm getting sick. I guess we're all going to die. I guess everybody's going to cough. I guess everybody's going to hack. I walk in hope. A couple days ago, I took a drink of Whitney's, which I'm real funny about drinking after people, just saying, all right? All right. Staff knows I don't drink after. Whitney swapped me by accident. And she's been hacking and coughing. I immediately put that down. I'm like, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. I will not be sick in Jesus' name. She goes, great, now you're going to be sick. Oh, no, I'm not. Praise God. You say, Pastor Charlie, does that stuff really work? The Word of God says it does. Our hope stirs our faith, and we should constantly be stirring ourselves up in faith. Come on, amen? Amen, that's good stuff. Hey, I'll give you another one. You ready for this? Here's Psalms 31. I'm going to give you two more, three more, five, I don't know, whatever. All right, Psalms 31, 24 says this, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Did y'all get that? He will what? Strengthen your heart. All who hope in the Lord. Hey, y'all get that? Here's what I'm trying to say. Real blunt. You ready? You are strengthened in your faith and in your heart when you have hope. What's the opposite? When you lack hope, you become weak. When you have hope, you become strong. Come on, isn't that right? And remember, hope, the bedrock of that thing is knowing that God loves me and knowing that I'm going to walk in peace and in joy. When I combine those three elements of hope in my heart and I'm going to walk that thing out, my goodness, of course I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Come on, that's so good, man. So good. So not only does hope put a divine protection about you, hope also strengthens you on the inside. It strengthens you. Let me give you one last thing. You ready? Hope also helps us conquer the greatest enemy of God. What is the greatest enemy of God? She cheated. Deb cheated. She was in first service. First of all, as I heard someone say, the devil. I know a lot of people think that. Can I tell you that that the devil is not the greatest enemy of God? He is a enemy of God. And people oftentimes think he's the greatest enemy. But how many of you know Jesus whipped him bad 2,000 years ago and took care of business? All right? And Jesus never looked back. Jesus never looks back and goes, well, I hope it worked. How many of you know Jesus whipped him bad? No, here's the greatest enemy. One enemy that hasn't been put under Jesus' feet yet. It's been placed under Jesus' feet, physically Jesus' feet, but it's not been placed under Jesus' body's feet. How many of you know we're his body? Yes. Okay, I lost y'all. I went like so fast. I went warp speed, and y'all, we need like Star Trek to catch up. All right. Everybody look at me. Check this out. Jesus is the head. We are the body. The Bible says that all enemies will be placed under Jesus' feet in the end. Okay, where is Jesus' feet? In the body. That means the lowest saint still has the greatest power. Y'all get that? That's how I got there. Now y'all caught up with me? Everybody ready? All right. Okay, so now check this out. Check this out. And the greatest enemy that God still has to conquer is the enemy called death. But even in death, we should have hope. Even in death. Roger Bates, my buddy, last night. Man, what a terrible, tragic thing. But can I assure you, that man's in heaven. He woke up, and when he gets there, I'm going to ask him, dude, why'd you check out so early, you punk? I'm going to kick him in the shin. Punk? I'm going to kick his casket over this week. Punk? Right? I would call him back, raise him from the dead, but he'd get mad. And then we got to talk about the Bible again. I ain't going to do that. Here's what it says. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. What is hope? Certain, strong, confident, expectation of good. You should not walk around without hope. Should not. Even if you're facing death, you shouldn't. Why? Lest we sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, come on. Anybody in here? All right, if we believe that, even so God is willing to bring, even so God will bring with him those who have slept in Jesus, those who have died and who are already in Christ in heaven. It says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have fallen asleep or passed away. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we also be with the Lord. You ready for the last part? Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What was he really saying? He was saying, therefore, have hope. Even in death, it's all right to have hope. Even if you're alive on this planet, you're supposed to walk around full of hope. You're full of hope because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. You walk in peace. You walk in joy. And because of that, you're full of hope everywhere you go. Come on, amen? You should never, amen. You should never look at your situation in life as hopeless. Never, never, never. What's the worst the devil could ever do to you? Kill you. That's what most people think. Kill you. Really? He can't touch you even then. Can't even touch you. And personally, I believe there are worse things that can happen to you. You can live with a lot of other things that are probably worse than dying, praise God. Amen? I've met people that they wish they'd died. And they're alive. Amen? So there's a lot worse. So my point is this. Be full of hope. Be full of hope. Remember, how do we get the hope? We get it by anchoring ourselves to the promise of God. When we anchor our hearts to the promise of God, it puts us under divine protection, right? It strengthens us, right? And even when we look at life through the hardest lens we could possibly look at, we should still have hope. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap. I'm done. Praise God.